This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's program comes to you from South Carolina, Washington, D.C., Illinois, California, and Alaska. But first, On Location is produced by the NCA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. On Location is pleased to present Episode 3 in our series designed to help employers engage with a child support program and provide required information that is so vital in providing child support funds to families. Our focus in this discussion is lump sum wage withholding and reporting. Joining us to help navigate this sometimes complex topic are Corey Flores, Director of Government Affairs, Wage Garnishments, Compliance, and Shared Services at ADP, and Robin Large of the Federal Office of Child Support Services. Tim Leitner of CGI Technologies and Solutions, and Pat O'Donnell of Young Williams, co-host this week's conversation. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to NCA On Location, where today's podcast is dedicated to continuing the conversation, engaging the Child Support Program, and our critical partners, the employers. I'm Pat O'Donnell with Young Williams, based in Chicago, Illinois. And joining me today is my co-host and colleague, Tim Leitner, with CGI Technologies and Solutions Incorporated, based out of Anchorage, Alaska. Tim, do you want to introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Thank you, Pat. As Pat mentioned, I'm Tim Leitner. I'm up here in the North Country in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm working for CGI Technologies and Solutions Incorporated. And I am glad to have this group back on the podcast today as we talk more about employers and really employer-focused questions. Just to kind of recap, the last podcast we had, we talked about employers' roles and whose job is it, about independent contractors. What are the laws around reporting to the child support program and the timeframes to do that? We talked about income withholding orders, national medical support notices, verification of employment for independent contractors, lump sum payments, and best practices. So if you missed that podcast, I'd encourage you to check that out. So joining us today to continue the conversation and talk about an area of child support that is not always as clear, sometimes confusing, yet always important, lump sum reporting and withholding. Returning on the program are Corey Flores with ADP and Robin Large with the Federal Office of Child Support Services, Division of Federal Systems. Would each of you reintroduce yourselves and remind our listeners who you are, what you do, and maybe even what you've been up to since your last appearance earlier this year?
Sure. I'm Corey Flores, Director of Government Affairs for Wage Garnishments for ADP. I've been with ADP for over 28 years. My primary role is to partner with our state and government agencies in relation to garnishments and new hire processing. I'm also the current chair of PAYO, formerly known as the American Payroll Association, their government relations task force for child support and other garnishments. We are a committee of payroll professionals focused on processing wage garnishments that employers receive. And we all know employers, the vast majority of wage garnishments we receive are for child support. And I'm also NCA's co-chair of the membership committee. And What I've really been focused on is lump sum processing, medical support, and helping to bring awareness to areas within child support that employers have to comply with.
Hi, and I'm Robin Large, and I'm with the Federal Office of Child Support Services, and I am one of the federal oversight leads for the employer services team. Our employer services team is focused on education and outreach to the employer community and also looking at ways to improve communication, whether it be through electronic processes or online processes. Different ways to improve the communication, education, and outreach to between the employer community and the child support community. And one of the things that I've been really heads down on since our last call, and from the federal perspective, again, we are always looking for ways to improve. And there is currently a process that is extremely well used by employers and the child support agencies called the Electronic Income Withholding Order process. And it is an electronic process which requires employers to have a server, and they have options to be able to participate. From the federal perspective, for this last year, we have been working very hard to develop an electronic income withholding order, or EIWO, online process, which will allow employers to come to the Federal Office of Child Support Services portal. And if they don't have a server to be able to get their orders electronically, they could actually come to the portal and get their orders and download the orders and acknowledge them. So that has been at the focus for our team this year. And we're excited because we're hoping to go into production by the end of this year for that. So it's kept us quite busy. But again, our major focus for our team is employers, because they are such a critical partner in the child support community. Like I said on the last podcast, employers are a very, very important stakeholder. We like to do outreach and education because in 2022, 72% of collections for child support were collected through the IWO, or Income Withholding Order, Income Withholding for Support Order form. So we like to do what we can to improve the communications. And thank you for allowing me to be on this podcast.
Well, we're delighted to have you, Robin, as well as you, Corey. So thank you. To continue the educational discussion, can you tell us exactly what is lump sum reporting and lump sum withholding? And how can we help employers understand their obligations around these types of earnings?
So lump sum reporting, lump sums are income and can be attached to collect child support. Lump sum payments are usually made outside of the typical periodic payment that is usually attached through an income withholding order. So this, it's not an amount that would be included in the periodic payroll. So, for example, and we'll talk a little bit more about bonuses or anything that's paid outside of a normal payroll cycle that is a lump sum amount of the earned income. And generally, child support agencies, have the ability to attach the lump sums because it is income. And this is used most often applied towards someone's child support arrearages.
So okay. I will share with you, Pat, I was recently at a conference and I had an employer come up and say, "What do you mean I have to report bonuses before I pay them out?" And I think when you even asked the question, you did a really good thing, which is, You asked about the lump sum reporting piece and the lump sum withholding, right? As two separate questions, because they're two separate processes. And I think in some cases, employers are a little confused that there is a reporting aspect to it and there is a withholding aspect to it. And so this employer said, "I'm not receiving lump sum orders, so there's nothing for me to withhold. I don't have to." And I asked, "What state are you in?" And it happened to be in a state that required lump sum reporting. And so I thought, there's chances are that you have to report lump sums if you're paying them out. So are you reporting them? And they said, "No." So I said, if you're not reporting them, the state isn't aware. And so that's why you're not receiving the orders. But that doesn't absolve you from the fact that there is a reporting requirement in the state that you're in and that you said you're paying to that state. So you need to report so then the state can determine if there are orders that they would issue to you and you receive those orders. And I will tell you, it was like the look of confusion. And so it actually turned out to be a really good kind of outcome. We sat down and I helped walk them through it. And, you know, they began to report. They sent a note later. But I think that's the key that employers have to understand. They may not be getting the orders because they aren't reporting. And so they need to report in the states that have reporting requirements. And just like I think I've shared in other podcasts, education is key. Employers need to be made aware. They need to understand what the requirements are, and they need to ensure that they have an established process down that they are in compliance. And for those states that have passed the mandates, making sure that there is that education component, that there is the awareness, that they're continually reminding employers that that is something that they are responsible to do. And so that way the employer can ensure that they are in compliance with that requirement.
Thank you. I think I know the answer to this next question, but I want to be clear for our listeners. Are there national standards that have been established for lump sum reporting and withholding?
So this is Robin, and like many aspects of the child support program, lump sum reporting laws are state specific. So there are 19 states that have laws that require employers to report lump sums, just like Corey was saying. You know, the key is, you know, that these states have laws that require employers to report when they're getting ready to pay a lump sum payment. But all states, you know, all employers have to respond to an income withholding order. So even if the state is not one that has a mandatory requirement to report, if, for example, the child support agency finds out that the company is paying their annual bonus on December 1 and they issue an income withholding order, they still have to 100% of the time respond to that. So that is, like Corey was saying, that is the key, is the education and awareness. And it's funny because one of the things that Corey said, I cannot count how many times, my team goes out and speaks very often because we think education and awareness is extremely important. But how many times I see somebody in the audience with, you know, like a deer caught in the headlights. What do you mean I have to report this bonus? Why do I have to report the bonus? So that's the important piece. And I often see people put their heads down like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know this was something. And I had someone come up to me after a recent conference and say, we paid out bonuses months ago. What do I do now? And, you know, the important thing is you, from this point forward, you know, now this is a requirement. So, again, I think that, you know, it's amazing because lump sum reporting has lump sum, you know, attachment has been around for a long time, but I think, that like with any position, you know, jobs change, people change, requirements change. So they just don't realize, you know, that this is something that is required. And, you know, like on our prior podcast, we talked about independent contractor reporting. Both independent contractor reporting and lump sum requirements are becoming more and more prevalent in the states, and more legislation is getting passed. So it's really, really important for employers to be aware of the fact that the state that they are in, you know, may have a new law, like Washington. The state of Washington is the most recent one that enacted lump sum reporting requirements. So it's important to be aware, and it's important to know. And we do have, at the Federal Office of Child Support Services, we have a few matrices that we have developed for employers that has specific state program information. So, you know, we have one that's a lump sum matrix. So it has every single state, what their laws are, what their requirements are, and if you have questions, who the contacts are in that state. So we point people to that resource very often, and we work with states to try and keep it updated because we want to make sure when an employer goes there that they're contacting the right person with the questions. But it does lay out, you know, all of the information for each state, specific to their lump sum requirements, or if they don't have them. You know, there's many states that say, or there are a number of states that don't have lump sum reporting laws, but they have instructions to employers on reporting lump sums. So again, this is state specific at this point. On the prior podcast, I talked about that Corey and I are members of the National Council of Child Support Directors Employer Collaboration Committee, and we looked at the lump sum reporting process in the last few years. And this, because it is another area that is not standard among the states, so there was some work on a lump sum model act to try to work with states to make this area a little more consistent, a little more uniform, because that's what the cry we hear from the employer community all the time, because it's very difficult, especially for employers that have employees in multiple states, to be aware of all the different state regulations. So currently it is state specific, but there is some hope that the Model Act will be looked into to make things a little more standard among the states.
And then if I could share, our PAYO committee, we did take a look at some of the more common types of lump sums that employers pay out. And we actually sent a letter requesting an opinion to the Department of Labor. And we listed out 18 various types of lump sums that employers typically pay out, and wanted Department of Labor to weigh in if they were subject to the Consumer Credit Protection Act. And they actually provided an opinion letter back in April of 2018. And of the 18 examples that we provided, they came back and said 15 of those are subject to the CCPA limitations. But what the letter really did, I think, was make it really clear that to assess whether certain lump sum payments are earnings and subject to the garnishment limitations under CCPA, is it provided whether the amounts are paid by the employer in exchange for personal services. And so that was a great basis that employers could reference, right, and use when they were determining this bonus or one-time payout. Is it in relation and in exchange for personal services being performed by the employee? So if it is, then like payments received periodically, it would be subject to the protections of the CCPA. So employers at one point were receiving orders that said 100%. We see that a lot at a decreased frequency than we experienced a few years back. I will share, again, at conferences, inevitably, I always have an employer still, even this year, 2023, come up and say, hey, I received an order for a lump sum that I reported that said take 100%. So if, in fact, employers are receiving them, we advise them to go back to the agency because there are protections based on what the Department of Labor provided in that opinion letter. But as far as standards, I would say reference that opinion letter, make sure that you understand what the Department of Labor shared, because that's a great source of reference for employers.
Yeah, and just to dovetail on that, we do have that opinion letter posted on the OCSS website. It's the DOL opinion letter on Consumer Credit Protection Act and lump sum payments. And it is very detailed, and it was very welcome to actually get that because, you know, this gives supporting documentation to that, you know, this is truly considered income and that income is attachable for child support.
So I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but is it fair to say that the OCSS portal could be considered kind of a one-stop shop for information for employers about the processes and around lump sum reporting and the states for whom that is a legislative requirement? Is that a true statement or am I making that up?
I think that's an excellent statement, and I, you know, we work very hard to promote the portal because we have put a lot of time and energy into it based on the feedback that we get from the employer community and with the child support community. So we're trying to make things very complicated less complicated. So on the OCSS Child Support Portal, employers can come and register right online. You know, they don't, it's all in the portal. So the registration process is fairly simple. It's fairly, it is, you know, secure. So there are some mechanisms that they have to go through. We have to know that the organization exists and it's a valid organization. And we check that against the National Director of New Hires and that the person that's registering is associated with that company. So there are some checks because with lump sum reporting, you are reporting personally identifiable information. So you're telling us about your employee who's eligible for a bonus or potentially eligible for a bonus, and you're giving their information, their social security number. But on the portal, employers can come and report potential lump sum payments. And what I'm saying is, why I'm saying it's potential, because, you know, very often an employer knows today, November 8th, or whatever date it is, that they are going to pay a bonus December 1st for all their employees. So they can actually, you know, report to the, upload a spreadsheet to the portal and say all of these employees are eligible for a lump sum payment. And then it gets the process flowing. So then we can look at it. And it may very well be that that employee ends up not getting a bonus, but they are not, it's not, you know, they're not then restricted to that they have to pay it. It's just giving the notice. So what happens when an employer comes and uploads a spreadsheet, or they can report it one by one, we have in the last few years enhanced our portal so that when an employer puts a name and a social security number in, we immediately, if they're doing it one by one or overnight in a batch process, if they're uploading a spreadsheet, and the reason it's overnight in a batch process, we have employers that come in and report 60,000 at a time. So it's massive. But we then take the information that the employer has provided and match it, run an automated match against the debtor database. And I call it's the debtor database. And basically what this is, a database that all of the child support agencies report all their non-custodial parents who have arrearages. So it's the same database that, you know, you might have heard that, you know, where non-custodial parents are who are behind in child support or have child support arrearages and their federal taxes get taken. It's the same database that states report to let us know that John Jones does have an arrearage. So we automatically match against that database. And what the beauty of that is, if you know, our employers that report 60,000, they may get immediate response that 30,000 of them have no match. So they don't even have to hold it. Even if there's a state that, you know, has a law that says you must hold it, if there's no match, that allows the employer to release that 30,000. And then what they do is they wait for a response from the child support agency to the ones that actually match. And we tell them, you have matched with Texas, and here's Texas's contact information. You should hear from Texas about attaching that lump sum. So it's a very easy process. You know, we don't have to have a navigation guide. We don't have to, you know, have instructions, because employers can come in and navigate through it very quickly, very easily. And, you know, we have positive feedback from employers who use it and positive feedback from the child support agencies, because this process has been around for a bit of time now. So most child support agencies have a team of people, so the responses are quick, and all states participate. So this is a way, you know, if you're a multi-state employer or if you're, you know, work in one state, this, the child support portal, lump sum reporting and termination reporting, you know, all states participate in. So it's, again, one of the things that we've tried to do to assist employers so that they don't have to reach out to every state and wait for a response. We do that. You know, we notify the states, and then the states currently at this point have to reach back out to the employers to respond. But it is, you know, to your question, Pat, from lump sum reporting, it absolutely is a one-stop shop, and we have many other aspects on the portal. Like I mentioned, there's termination reporting. If an employer changes their organization address, where an income withholding order should go. They can update that on the portal. And all of this information is shared with the child support agencies. And we also have a communication center, which allows employers to come in and communicate with child support agencies in a secure fashion. So you don't have to encrypt an email. And child support agencies also can communicate with employers in the communication center, in the portal, because it is behind a secure environment. So yes, it is a one-stop with my long explanation to your question. But the portal is very close to my heart. So you'll get a little passion there.
And Pat, if I could just share, I wholeheartedly agree with what Robin shared. I am out on OCSS's portal if, it's in regards to researching something for income withholding, lump sum reporting, medical support. Employers bookmark that, bookmark their portal. There's an entire section really just for employers and all the questions you may have. There is state contact information. So really, if you haven't been out there exploring, I'm out there, I would say, multiple times throughout the week. So that is not any paid endorsement from OCSS or Robin, but it's a wealth of information, and it really is a benefit to employers to go out there and explore and use the lump sum reporting process if at all possible, because it's so fast and it's a one-stop shop.
Perfect.
Yeah, quite a bit of information. And just to kind of follow through, Corey, let us know, are there any frequent categories that can be considered for lump sum reporting? You mentioned 18 in that letter to the Department of Labor, but can you give us an idea of what are some of the top ones that people might not know, employers might not really be keyed into as far as these are lump sum reporting?
Sure. So I go back to, Department of Labor was very clear if it's in exchange for personal service, that's really the foundation. But some of the common ones we know, bonus, cash service awards, commission, retroactive pay, severance, vacation or sign-on, and termination pay. Those are the most frequent. Now, I would say the less frequent that they also touched on were like attendance awards, safety awards, retroactive merit increases, and maybe the holiday pay. Those are some of the less common.
And then are there any excluded categories which are not considered for wage or lump sum withholding?
So not that I'm aware of, but again, what I would use as the foundation when I'm talking or sharing information with employers is based on DOL's opinion, Department of Labor's opinion, in that opinion letter. I would tell an employer, if the payment that you're making is in regards to the amounts or that one-time bonus or lump sum is in regards to an exchange for personal services, then it would be protected by the CCPA. And then if it is not, then it would not be, and there's a potential that they could take additional amounts and it's not protected by the maximum limitations. So I would use that as the basis.
Are there minimum dollar amounts to be considered for lump sum payments withholding?
So on our OCSS lump sum matrix, again, we have every state's laws and requirements, and there, because it is set by the state, it varies. So there's a good majority of them have no threshold, which means, if they're getting a $10 lump sum, that they might be required to report it. But, it does vary. I saw one state that had a threshold of $1,000 that they don't want to have anything reported if it's less than $1,000. But most of them are less, they run anywhere from 25 to 500. And there are some states that say percentage. So there are a few states that have sort of adopted some of the pieces that I talked a little bit earlier about the Model Lump Sum Act. And there are a few states that have actually, and this information, again, is on our matrix, but they have said, go ahead and release 50% to the employee And then we will let you know how much to attach of the remaining 50%. So there are a good, a few of them that actually do document, you know, a percentage. The Model Act, that was one of the things that, you know, they, when we started looking at lump sum reporting in the different states and talking with different states about the challenges of lump sums and employer community, you know, there were some there were some things that, you know, number one, thresholds, you know, because the states vary, the time limit on, you know, how soon do I have to report it, the amount. So some of the things in the Model Lump Sum Act were, you know, trying to make things consistent. And one of the things that they did talk about is, you know, go ahead and release 50%. So the employee still does get some of the lump sum. And then we determine whether, you know, they keep the other 50% or whether it's, you know, somewhere according to the CCPA, or some states have lower than CCPA, or you know, some states may only take, you know, 40%. One of the biggest things that I think is very important to be aware of when the lump sum reporting, when they are getting when employers are getting responses from states, is to pay attention to the amount that they are requesting. If it is a lump sum that is defined as earnings, then CCPA does apply. So there should be no instance that a state would ask for 100% of a lump sum payment because it is earnings. And so the CCPA should apply to that. But again, some states will take less than that. Some will take less. And there are other states that actually, you know, make the decision not to attach lump sums, because if the non-custodial parent is paying via wage withholding, you know, they may, in their own policies and procedures, have made a decision not to attach a lump sum. But most will. And again, you know, I think we talked about this from the beginning, and maybe it was on the prior podcast. The important thing about lump sum reporting, and, you know, one of the, you know, while it seems like an odd word, but one of the benefits for the non-custodial parent is, you know, this lump sum payment is going toward the arrearage. You're going to get that paid off that much quicker by putting a lump sum payment toward it. So, that's again, you know, Pat, that this is again, at this current time, a state specific requirement.
Okay. Thank you, Robin. That's helpful. Mm-hmm. And again, just to be clear, the reporting requirements for employers reporting lump sum are different because the each state's position is different than is standard wage withholding. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And on our matrix, you know, some of the states have been very detailed, you know, have example of, you know, to attach certain kinds of compensation, to attach, you know, they may give exact examples of the type of lump sum that they will or will not include. And, you know, many are very clear that it's, you know, any kind of lump sum other than the periodic payment. So there are different requirements, but again, you know, the education is important. So, you know, we work very hard on our website to provide employers with as much education as they can regarding income withholding, regarding lump sum payments, and to give examples. And again, the matrices are provided, the information is provided by each state. So it'll give the information that the state has provided to us. We try to keep our matrices up to date. We reach out to the child support agencies frequently so that we have the latest and greatest information so that they will know, you know, that state specific requirement.
And Pat, I would share that is one of the challenges, right? Is there is not a standard across all states. Each state has the authority to enact the requirement based on their state-specific needs. But from an employer's perspective, that can be challenging because we have to manage to all those things. And that's where that model language that NCCSD has created is so helpful. So the fact that there are different requirements, we have some states that say, you know, report so many days in advance of paying out the bonus, and some states have no specified time frame to respond back to employers. So that's a challenge, because with no time frame, that really means an employer has to kind of chase down the answer, and that's never a great process. Some states have, you have to hold the bonus 30 days after reporting to the agency or from the payout date. And that can also be challenging because, again, when there's manual intervention and you're having to hold things and release things, there's room for opportunity. And so if as much as possible, states could leverage what is in the NCCSD model language, that's also helpful. But it is a challenge to manage all the different requirements based on the state-specific needs that an employer has to comply.
Yeah, and I will, based on what Corey just said, I will put another plug-in for the OCSS transport portal, because the states have different time frames, and because there are some very specific laws that say to hold it 10 days or to, even as extreme as holding it up to 45 days, if you use the OCSS child support portal and report early, when we do demonstrations, when we provide outreach, we provide education, we tell employers, you know, if you know now that you're paying something December 15th, report it. You know, give the states time to do what they need to do. And we explain that the child support agencies are set up differently. Some are state run, some are county run. So, you know, they have different complexities on determining whether to attach it. But, you know, the interesting thing is we used to get a complaint about one of the states that has a very, very long hold period and about how it took so long. But now using the portal, you know, if you report it early, you're not going to have to hold it past the payout date, because you will have heard from most of, if not all of the states before that time. So, you know, there are some states that have a law, like Corey said, that, you know, you must hold it 30 to 45 days after you would have paid out. Well, that's a long time to hold it. But if you report 30 days early, you're going to hear from that child support agency and you will end up not having to hold it, because you can either release it or attach the amount that they said. So we strongly recommend using the OCSS child support portal and reporting early. Now, there are other mechanisms to be able to report lump sums. The electronic income withholding order, EIWO process, you can report lump sums. Employers can report lump sums through that process. The matching program is not part of EIWO. But you can report, and then there are states that have child support portals themselves. The difference, you know, if you are an employer that only does business in one state and that state has a really good portal, you know, we would never say don't report there and only report. But the beauty of the OCSS child support portal is it impacts all states. So, you know, and again, reporting early then helps to work around the different state laws.
Great. Thank you, Rob. And I think what we'll do here is to make sure that when this podcast is released, we'll include that link to the URL for the federal portal for the employer to make that reporting. I think that'll be helpful to our listeners. So listeners, stay tuned to that. So let me just ask you both, what are best practices for lump sum reporting or withholding? You've talked about so much. Maybe if you could just kind of remind us or kind of just narrow it down to a couple of best practices that might be overlooked at times.
So I advise employers, report as early as you can. You know you have a payout coming. Typically, you may not know the exact date, but if you have a general guideline that you know it's coming, report to the agencies to give them ample time to get you the order back and to get your response and for you to process. Be aware and have a, you know, chart that says what are the states that require, or register for OCSS's portal, like Robin said. It's a one-stop shop. It, you know, allows you to upload your entire list and then get the match, no match. So then you're truly only dealing with the population that there's a potential match. The other thing I really think is key for employers to understand, the lump sum withholding does not necessarily mean that everyone that has a child support order is going to get a lump sum order back. It's really about those that are in arrears. And then even further, it doesn't necessarily mean just because someone's in arrears that you automatically are always 100% of the time going to receive an order. Report and wait for the agency to provide you some instructions. For the states, I would say report back promptly. The employers are getting ready to pay that bonus out. In many cases, the employees, they've already spent or have plans on how they're going to spend that bonus. So holding is a challenge for employers, and it can cause employee-employer relationship issues. So work those timely. I know for the states, many times it's a manual process as well. But if the employer is reporting, get back to them. And please don't ask for 100% of the bonus if it's protected by the CCPA. That just causes confusion on the employer's part. So those would probably be the best practices that I would share.
And you know, I would echo Corey, because the reporting early is the key. You know, child support agencies have a little bit on their plate, so, you know, to be able to allow as much time. The one caveat that I want to say about the OCSS child support portal, you know, there are a number of lump sums that are paid as a result of a termination or a severance. And some states have laws that, you know, you must pay everything that the employees do within 48 hours or, you know, some very, very short time frame. And to use the OCSS child support portal, you have to have a minimum of 5 days to be able to use it. There, you know, it's a 5 day business a day minimum. So, employers need to be aware of the laws that they have and also be aware of, you know, how they can contact the child support agency themselves or directly if they're on a very short time crunch. And that is one of the things that we hear very often is, you know, we don't have a lot of time to, you know, we're not notified too far in advance that the employee may be getting a bonus. And, you know, if there are 5 days, then they can use the portal, but it is extremely important. Again, I do echo Corey and asking the employers to report early and asking the states to report back promptly. And again, we have seen a really, you know, over the years since we have what the child support agencies know as dead inquiry, we have seen the responses coming back much, much quicker. And we also are looking at, you know, in the future at some point, trying to figure out a way to have it all within the portal so that child support agencies could just then see the report and report right back in the portal. But that's a future enhancement, but it is something that we're looking at. So I do, again, echo Corey, report early and respond promptly.
And Tim, if I could just share one other item. So I do hear from some employers that they have concerns with lists being returned to instruct the employer to withhold on the bonus from some of the state agencies. I know some employers like it, but, you know, one of the employers shared, in order to process the response from the agency, and when it's a list, I have to go in, print it, redact the information for however many employees are listed on there that I'm going to withhold for. So say there's 10. She says, I have to redact it, make 10 copies so I can scan that into the employee's online virtual account. So that way, if there's any questions on why I'm doing this withholding on the bonus, she has records of it because inevitably employees want to know who authorized or they have challenges about who said to withhold from their bonus. And so some employers have shared that the list is a struggle and that they do prefer getting an actual individual response or the actual income withholding order related to that one-time bonus. So just something that states should be aware of, that there could be various employers that the way the response is received could differ.
Yeah, and Corey, I would imagine that if you're an employer with 10 employees, that's challenging enough. But if you're an employer that has thousands of employees, that list would be not very well manageable.
Right, exactly. And you're having to redact the person above, everybody above and below that, just so you could scan it. Because, I mean, you do get challenges. Employees don't necessarily always, they're not very happy that you're withholding on their bonus. So they'll say, you know, show me the response from the agency. And when you have an entire list, you don't want to expose anyone else's confidential personal information. And so it can be challenging. And I do know some employers will go back to the agency and say, we prefer to have either an individual response or a copy of an actual order.
Well, thank you. Corey and Robin, I'll ask each of you if you have any final thoughts. Robin?
Yeah, I don't really have. I think we have covered a lot of information today. I just would, you know, encourage employers. I think Corey said it earlier. If you have questions, ask. You know, we try to provide as much outreach and education as we can on our website. We try to come to chapter meetings and state conferences and wherever we can to try to get the word out. But you know, if you have questions, please ask. And we just, you know, can't emphasize enough how important it is and how much impact the collection of lump sum payments has on the child support and the families. You know, the bottom line is the families, and that's, you know, getting the child support to the families and getting some of the arrearages paid down that way.
Agreed.
And I would just share, Pat, reporting and withholding is not optional in the states that have passed legislation. That is a requirement. OCSS has a great matrix on their site that lists the state requirements. Report early so agencies can get back to you and provide you a timely response. And for the states that either have a mandate or are looking to pass a mandate for lump sum reporting, ensure that you're educating and continually reminding employers about the requirements.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, as always, we want to thank our guests today, Corey Flores and Robin Large. We so appreciate you coming on and helping us with outreach to employers. Not only employers, but child support professionals need to understand, be able to update, and remind each other of what this is and how important it is to families. Thank you so much to our listeners for being with us. On behalf of the NCIA Communications Committee, I'm Pat O'Donnell.
And I'm Tim Leitner. And this has been On Location. On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.